Welcome to Lights, Camera, Barstool, episode 240, our third quarantined edition of Lights, Camera, Barstool. Jeff Lowe, Ken Jack, Trill Ballins, coming at you from our respective places that we normally record when we're not quarantined. So not much different there. What's happening? What's going on?
Well, there's no difference between good screen and bad screen to me. They're all bad screens. Just time has stopped existing as a concept. And by that, I mean weekdays. I don't know what the difference between them are anymore. And I think everybody's going through that. But on the bright side, I did download Doom Eternal. I've been playing that.
Fuck, man. I want to get it so bad. Like, I think I've sort of like Stockholm syndromed myself into liking Call of Duty Warzone let me defend myself here. I didn't like it at all when I first started playing it. And I still don't think I do. But it's one of only two games I can put on my PS4 right now because the download is so big. And it's that in FIFA. And I know FIFA's okay, but the only other game I can play is Warzone. And I'm like, all right, maybe it's actually kind of good because it's the only other one I can play.
Can I also just say this?
Well, hold on. Let's say something, by the way, off the top. Beginning of that pods now, we're going to be talking about what we're gaming and what we're watching. That's just what it's going to be for the foreseeable future. We don't have much news, so we're bringing to the table what we're watching. So, yeah, let's keep the gaming talk.
So I watched There Will Be Blood the other night. It's on Netflix.
Yeah.
And I forgot how good that was. I really enjoyed that. And then there's this Altered Carbon animated anime movie called Altered Carbon Resleeved. That was pretty good. I watched that.
Resleeved. Sounds like a guy who decided to get more tattoos.
Reused
the condom. He doesn't get the lore. He doesn't know the lore. Don't let him bait you.
Yeah, I bet you don't even know what a stack is.
Yeah, he doesn't know what it means.
Oh, look at that.
Real death.
That MF-er. Doesn't know what a stack is. Also, like I've seen a lot of Facebook posts from people I was friends with at some point. Now I couldn't pick out of a lineup where they're like, "Oh man, like you people without kids have it so good." And while I agree, it would be better to not have kids. It still is not good. Like don't people kids like yeah like I know your mind goes to like waking up at 11 a.m. and playing video games, and that's definitely what I would do. But like at the same time, it's like we're all going through the same level of anxiety. It's not like anyone's having fun, unless like you're irresponsibly going down to Panama City Beach, which you shouldn't because they closed Club La Vela anyway.
the crazy one for me still is the line to get into Whole Foods for us, which a horrible system, might I add, and I'm just going to say it's Jeff Bezos' fault. I'm just going to assume he has control over all lines at his individual Whole Foods stores. But outside, they make you wait in a long area of Columbus Circle in New York City. So a big area, popular place. And people are standing probably the safe social distance space. And then the next step is you go inside and wait again, and they cram you into this small area. And I think it's a social test. Because I stood off to the side. I'm like, I'm not going to stand. Like, you know I'm in here. You know I'm going in. So I'm just going to stand off by myself. It's like a weird social test. Or I'm being set up to be shamed online or something in a video. So I haven't gone out since going to Whole Foods, though. We've only been doing this. They do, yeah.
They have a bouncer at the one near me now. It's crazy.
They do it ours. Yeah, he's got a loss prevention jacket on, but he may as well be. He's checking IDs of people who may not be old enough to get in early. You're getting ID'd at Whole Foods right now.
It's sorry, fellas. It's ladies' night.
$20 coat. Imagine they made you give a cover charge to get in the supermarket. I might for Whole Foods compared to going to
IKEA. Yeah. Yeah. What else? What else are we?
I also find myself like thinking really stupid things. Like I'll be sitting around and I'll like be watching TV, and you know it's just like doom and gloom, and I'll be like, why can't somebody just fucking find a cure? Or I'm just like, how come somebody can't just make a test out of like Rubbermaid containers and Windex? Like, well, if you just sneeze in it, it turns green.
According to Twitter and Instagram, every college or university has had somebody discover some sort of breakthrough. Every day, it's like some new place has like, oh, I might have found a breakthrough. It's like, okay, let me know when we get it. Let me know when we have the thing. Not that every college has like a lead on it.
You know what sucks the most ass is I remember in February when I was going through my big Lego phase, sitting up in my office, putting my Legos together and watching the news, and they'll be like, you know, reports out of Wuhan today, going to quarantine. And I was thinking to myself, I'm like, man, I'm glad that's not here.
Yeah, that's very much us. Did you guys watch? Did you guys watch Tiger King yet?
Well, hold on, let me get my Warzone comment. Call of Duty Warzone. I think I'm going to end up liking it eventually because I'm just going to make myself like it because it's the only game that I can really fit on my PlayStation. But I don't love it. Like, if that was in the same spot as Fortnite was a couple years back, I don't think Battle Royales would have been that big. I just don't think it's that great.
Fortnite is so much better, but we do need to talk about Tiger King only because, and if those of you don't know, it's a Netflix documentary about this guy that was a roadside zoo in Oklahoma named Joe Exotic. It's like literally an audio visual version of like watching a wiki rabbit hole search almost, because every single new character that's introduced is fucking incredible. It's like something out of like the weirdo TikToks that I post. But the best part about it is that one of the main characters is named Jeff Lowe.
And yeah, people are starting to discover that.
And it's not just that his name is Jeff Lowe, like, because every other character, they just say, yeah, Joe does this, yeah, Joe does that. But with Jeff Lowe, they specifically say his full name every time they reference him. They're like, yeah, Jeff Lowe did this. Like, if they just said Jeff, it wouldn't be as big of a deal, but they specifically say the full and last name every time he's referenced. It's incredible.
I watched that in for the first episode. You know that one time I turned on the Documentary Now thing and I thought it was a real thing? Mm. I thought it was that. And I expected Andy Samberg or like Bill Hader to pop up playing a character at one point. And then I Googled it. I'm like, this is real. And I actually have been to a big cat preserve in, I think it was in New Albany, Indiana, somewhere in southern Indiana. And it was a wild experience there. I got to say that stereotype is pretty true.
I mean, it's incredible the way like everything that the way it all comes together, right? Like every single character, it's incredible. Every single person is worse than the last, and there's no good guy. Nobody actually gives a shit about the cats except for the one employee that works there. It's incredible.
Well, the one thing it has inspired is people do want us to review We Bought a Zoo. No promises on that, but people have said that my mentions are full of Jeff Lowe. So I can tell it's a trend picking up. How far into the series do they introduce this fella?
I want to say like episode 4, maybe 5, he gets introduced because he buys the zoo from Joe Exotic. And he's just like this Las Vegas scammer asshole guy with like, and he's like very obviously bald, but he does the fit where he wears the bandana and then the hat, the straight brim hat on top of the bandana. Where it's like, yeah, I'm not bald. So yeah, I got two layers of caps on. That means I'm doubly not bald. It's like, you know, okay, whatever you say, Jeff. And then it's just an incredible experience. You have to see him.
Yeah, I have noticed people starting like our good friend John Feidelberg, and I'm like, uh-oh. So probably a couple hours, I'll get the tweet, and sure enough, he got the tweet. Does everyone named Jeff Lowe go by full name? Because he, again, like you said, he refers full name Jeff Lowe. So
every time.
Tough. It's apparently a tough look for the namesake.
And actually, the D in your name stands for doesn't like big cats.
So that's correct. I mean, spot the lie. What else? What are we watching here? I'm oddly excited for. Like, I can't believe I'm excited for Westworld tonight. Actually, I'm very. I'm pumped to watch it. Yeah. So that's cool. We've seen some rumblings about things coming online. Like someone said, Jeremy Conrad, who's a Disney and Marvel DC insider type fella. On Twitter, he mentioned that he's heard rumblings that Disney Plus is going to drop something soon. I don't know what that is. I know I've seen that in a couple other areas as well. But
Song of the South.
Yeah, they're finally, apparently, in an investor's call recently, someone asked Bob Iger if they're ever going to drop the movie, and he had to be like, no.
Yeah, hard no there, my friend.
We're not going to drop it, sorry. The hot drop of the year. Anything else, though, before we... We're reviewing Harold and Kumar today, which I'll tell you what. I remember it being a funny movie. I haven't watched it in a while. I laughed significantly harder than I thought I was going to laugh rewatching for the first time in quite a while.
Me too.
There are some real, very hard belly laugh moments that I paused and rewound a couple of times. It's like, I got to hear that again. And then we're going to be doing 5 movies you wouldn't want to get stuck in a quarantine with. So worst movies to be quarantined with.
You know, like the thing I liked about Harold and Kumar is it bridged the late 90s and early 2000s with the late 2000s and early 2010s in terms of having humor and sensibilities from both eras.
That's a good way to put it, because I'll tell you what, there are some jokes that feel very present day or 2000s and 90s as well, but then they mesh in a way that works, where at a time where a lot of comedies around when Harold and Kumar came out were starting to flop, right? It's that trend of from blank writers of scary movie comes this, like it's that area. And this broke through that mold. There's a lot of, I wrote down a bunch of jokes I want to go over. So we'll be doing that. But this episode is brought to you in part, folks, by a sponsor that we haven't had before. Folks, did you know cars today, they're rather like computers on wheels? Do you know that? I mean, there are like the Apple CarPlay. You've seen that? You just plug your phone in, your car's a big phone.
It's true.
From electronically controlled transmissions, touchscreens, a bunch of sensors and shit. Like the one, the craziest car thing is the one where it has all the cameras and you can see the overhead shot of you parking. That's wild. Yeah,
I don't believe that.
That's one of those pieces of technology. If you went back even like 20, 30 years and showed someone, their brain would fucking melt.
I don't know. Like, I've seen it happen live and I still like, and I know kind of like when we had the conversation about the floating ship and I went on our Reddit and a bunch of our engineer friends were pissed at us because we're big time, liberal arts business major type people and non-engineer, type idiots. Like that camera, you could probably explain to me in 50 words, but I'd still be like, nah, man, it's magic. It's like magic. Onward.
So folks, guess what? With something like that, those crazy, possibly fake, but expensive cameras, you gotta have Car Shield. Car Shield. Not me exactly. My family does, because they have cars. So hook them up with that. Ken, Jack, and I can't get Car Shield for subways. But I feel like
wouldn't help much.
Family's got it. Car Shield has affordable protection plans that can save you thousands for a covered repair, including computers, GPS, electronics, and more. I don't know what happens if that like Apple CarPlay thing breaks. With Car Shield, you're behind the wheel of your plan. Car Shield has customizable monthly plans with rates as low as $99 a month. You get to choose your favorite mechanic or dealership to do the work, and Car Shield takes care of the rest for you. They also offer 24/7 roadside assistance, which has to be great. Harold and Kumar could use that, folks. Car Shield has helped over 1 million customers, so drive with confidence knowing you got coverage from America's number one auto protection provider. With rates as low as $99 a month, you have nothing to lose. Get covered by Car Shield today. Call 800-CAR-6000 and mention the code LIGHTS, L-I-G-H-T-S, or visit carshield.com and use code LIGHTS to save 10%. 800-CAR-6000. They tell you to say 6,000. Interesting. You never really say that for a number with numbers.
You guys know how to drive a manual?
No fucking way. I've tried. Doesn't work for me.
So my car's a manual. I have a small it's a Volkswagen GTI. I always tell people what I drive. There's a billion of them out there. And I love the car. But manual's really fun. But also at the same time, like when you're driving the manual in traffic, it gets really annoying.
I would imagine, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And people are like, oh, manual's the best anti-theft deterrent device. And I'm like, dude, if people want to steal your car, they're going to figure it out and find a way.
Just grind your transmission to dust on the escape.
Also, reminder, YouTube link below. Make sure to click on that. You can watch our Westworld recaps, our Clone Wars recaps, and then every Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday for the foreseeable future, we'll be having Lights, Camera, Barstool Movie Night, new thing we're going to be doing. When we're out of quarantine, I'm sure we'll do it, probably less frequently, just because of timing and all that and people's abilities to watch things at night and not work from home. We have one, we're recording right now, so it'll already have happened, but Attack of the Clones is Sunday night. We have Eddie's Million Dollar Cook-Off, Disney Channel original movie, with a surprise cameo from Bobby Flay. Crazy cameo. We got our buddies Robbie Fox, Fran Rio from Chicks in the Office, and then Thursday night, Marty Mush and Fights, our good friend John Feidelberg. First time we've had Marty on something. We're going to watch Inception. He's never seen it. We're going to give him a quiz afterwards.
So can't wait for that.
We're doing those. We got a couple other people. I know Roan, Ellie, other Barstool employees down the pipeline. They're going to be joining us. So we're pumped. We're liking this. People have given us good feedback. Keep letting us know who you want to see. They work some other people in there as well. That's it. Just subscribe below. That's the biggest thing you can do to help us right now. Let's go ahead, Drew.
I'm just catching up with the news today. But I'm seeing that an NBA player accidentally posted a video of himself in a sexual act. And I got to say, that's That's incredibly relatable. Not necessarily that, but also, like, you know, isn't that the greatest fear, is that you have like some embarrassing video of yourself and you accidentally post it to Instagram?
For sure.
I feel bad for that. But at the same time.
What player is it? I didn't notice.
Jamal Murray.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I mean, it's all over the internet. I mean,
yeah, it's all over the internet. It's just, yeah. You know.
I've had fucking splitting migraines this entire, like, last 2 days, and I'm just, like, not even want to look at a screen.
Oh, yeah.
It's horrid.
Well, this may make your migraine worse, Ken Jack. They delayed Minions 2.
Oh, no. Damn.
It's first July movie to be delayed due to coronavirus, but it's because they're unable to complete work on the film.
What about Jurassic World Dominion?
They stopped. They stopped filming Jurassic World. They actually, like, the only two things, like, being worked on apparently are Suicide Squad. James Gunn is working on it from his house. And then Avatar is being worked on still somehow, some way, because they're doing all the digital stuff. So they don't have to really be in a place.
Yeah. It's small beans considering the overall economic impact and, I mean, not economic, but overall global impact, including health and economic conditions. But you think back to, like, the writer strikes we've had in, what was the last one, like 2012, 2008, and how that left a big void in original content and, you know, kind of started the, I remember, like, one of the original ones really started that wave of, like, shitty reality shows. They tried to come up with content. I think, like, you know, one of the things is, like, once we get through this, there's going to be a big void of stuff just because people haven't been working on it or haven't been able to film it. Productions have been halted. Teams have stopped being able to work together. You know, maybe stuff gets written but never gets to put in production. It's not a complaint. It's obviously the right thing to do. But as you think down the road, it's like, obviously, this is going to be one of the impacts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's – and also I will note, too, people like Edgar Wright have put out call outs or helping out the theater industry with theater workers or people who are involved in movies who are going to be out of a job. So, I mean it's a fucking impact everywhere. For sure. It's unfortunate times.
It's rough, man.
Very rough. Something else that will probably be delayed, Mandalorian 2, but on the side of good news, this was pretty crazy because this news came out just as Ken Jack, myself, and Robbie Fox were finishing up our breakdown of the first Ahsoka episode of The Clone Wars. Rosario Dawson has apparently been cast as Ahsoka in Mandalorian 2, which is a huge deal. And if you don't know her character, she was Anakin's Padawan in the Clone Wars. She showed up again years later in Rebels. She left the Jedi Order. She fights with like whitish clear lightsabers. She's kind of like in the middle, like that gray Jedi thing. A huge fan favorite, awesome character. She's apparently in Mandalorian 2, and Rosario Dawson had been asking for that role for a while after a like fan art from that guy on Twitter and Instagram, Boss Logic, who makes a lot of really popular posters for Marvel, DC, Star Wars stuff. Apparently she's in it. I mean, look, it's Dave Filoni's character, who co-creator of Mandalorian with Jon Favreau. So I guess I'm not shocked. And, you know, she's going to have, I'm sure, something to do with the Darksaber at some point. Very cool though, especially with all this tease of the Clone Wars on Disney Plus right now. We're going to see this character live action for the first time. This is fucking awesome. Really cool.
Yeah. Plus, I love Rosario Dawson.
It's a win-win, right? She's a fucking awesome character in Ahsoka, like probably one of the probably the singular best character to come out of all the Clone Wars cartoon series. And Rosario Dawson is just a fantastic actress. I think it's an amazing casting. I'm super excited to see her in Mandalorian because I think you had mentioned it, Jeff, that we don't really get a ton of lightsaber stuff, which I think is probably a strength of Mandalorian, but getting... out of anybody to introduce with more lightsaber stuff, it would be Ahsoka would be one person where I'm like, damn, that's cool.
Like she was very much alive in Rebels and was alive at the end of Rebels, and that ended. She had fought spoiler alert, she had fought someone important in Rebels. So her like story is kind of unresolved. So we knew there was always an open chance that she would appear again down the road, but we just saw in this most recent Clone Wars episode that she fights. She's got like martial arts fucking training and shit. So she doesn't even need lightsabers, right? Like she can just be a badass character alone and fight like say Mandalorian or Cara Dune does in that show. I really just cannot wait for that show to come back. What a fun show! And the only thing with that show is that I just wish it was a little longer in some parts. But it was such a joy to wake up on those Friday mornings, and I like Clone Wars as well. And but just to watch The Mandalorian, like the further we get away from it, the more I'm like, damn, that was just awesome. And it's a bummer we're gonna have to wait until the fall. Though at this point, even if it was coming out earlier, it would probably have been delayed regardless. So, But I'm very excited for that. Just excited for that show to get back and see where they go from here. Because at this point, I think you got to put your full trust in the Filoni and Favreau.
Yeah, a lot of people forget that Rosario Dawson was in Eagle Eye.
A movie I continue to confuse with...
Shooter.
No, not Shooter. The other one, Disturbia.
Disturbia, yeah.
Disturbia should have been called Eagle Eye. He was looking at the creepy guy across the street with his binoculars.
Mm-hmm.
I confuse it with Shooter. What was the one with Angelina Jolie?
Salt.
Yeah.
No, the bullet curving?
Yeah. Wanted.
Wanted.
Yeah. All those movies I just grouped together because they're...
There's that. There's Stealth. What was the one with Cillian Murphy and Rachel McAdams?
Oh, Red Eye?
Yeah, Red Eye. I don't know why I confuse all those two.
Yeah, but that was a Wes Craven movie, I think, right?
Still confuse it. I'm not sure why.
Wanted was a popular Blu-ray movie when Blu-ray first came out. That and Dead Man's Chest or whatever. One of the Best Buy always had Dead Man's Chest playing on the Blu-ray, and you'd be like, whoa, it looks photorealistic. Like, what is this? This is crazy. It looks like the soap opera effect. It looks real. That's what people were saying in Best Buy. Lost my train of thought. Oh, Wanted. Wanted is a movie that really, I don't know. Did you guys dislike Wanted?
Remind me what happened in Wanted.
They curved the bullets.
They curved the bullets.
Yeah, but that was
he's like an office worker, and he gets
beats up Chris Pratt.
The James McAvoy one. Was that the one where he's on top of the train?
Yes.
At one point, Yeah.
Okay. I kind of like
Morgan Freeman at the end. Yeah, it was okay, but it's one of those ones where you watch the trailer, and I feel like the older I get, you're like, maybe I'm not naive anymore. Where if I saw that trailer now, I'd be like, well, there's just no way this is going to be a good movie. But back then, it was like, this is going to be amazing. Curving bullets?
Chris Pratt was in that shit.
Yeah, he gets the shit beat out of him.
Face smashed with a keyboard.
Yeah, the keys spell fuck you as they fly in the air. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The thing I love about the Wanted promotion is that Angelina Jolie had the end billing but didn't have the lead role, but she is, you're not going to feature James McAvoy
in 2000, whatever.
2008?
Yeah. Oh, God, no.
Hell yeah. Nobody knows who that is.
That was a Morgan Freeman villain movie, if I recall. Or antagonist in some respect. He wasn't a pure good guy. Didn't get many of those.
Please don't shoot me with your curved bullet. You did it anyway. My God.
Kenjack, your favorite character from a Star Wars movie, Cassian Andor. His Disney Plus show is apparently going to be a spy thriller. I'm not very surprised by that, though, right? That just kind of makes sense.
I think they made it seem as if he was going to be more of an assassin, I think, based off of his... the way he acted in Rogue One, right? He always said, I'm not proud of everything I did while working for the rebels and everything. We did bad stuff. I always assumed that he was just somebody going around killing people. But, that kind of goes with the spy genre. But so I would assume it to be more along that line, hitman shit, than as opposed to him stealing documents or whatever.
This does excite me for it, though. Not that I wasn't I didn't have a major pulse. I compared this to Obi-Wan, I'd say, I don't know. But the spy thriller stuff, there's a lot of potential for shit we haven't seen. A lot of underworld stuff, some darker, kind of grittier shit that we know they can do with Mandalorian. We kind of saw that with that. But to see that in the rebellion era, pretty cool. So, again, this is not a crazy shock. I kind of expected it to be something like this, but still very exciting.
I don't know. Agreed.
Number one, Cassian Andor fan.
You're still really upset that Cassian died. I know that.
Yeah. Cried like a baby. That's what the Kleenex were for.
Which of the other Rogue One characters did you like the most?
I liked... I liked Jyn Orso. I love that dish. That's what they serve at Dexter Jexter's diner.
No, hit me with the Rogue One quiz. Come on. I'll give it a whirl.
The Donnie Yen character. It's Chiwetel something. It's with a CH.
Baze and Chiwet. Nah.
No, close. I don't think that's right. I don't think Chiwet's right.
Greg.
Blind Greg.
It's Baze and Chirrut. Chirrut. Chirrut.
K2SO was the boss. Best part of that movie.
Baze, Malbus, and Chirrut Imwe. I remember James, our good friends from the Weekly Planet. They, which by the way, they're I was just talking to James the other day. I'm trying to get James on again soon. But they're dealing with the same shit in Australia.
They need to make a sequel to Rogue One.
Oh no!
What do you call it?
When they saw Rogue One for the first time, they sat behind who voices K2SO again? What's his
name? Alan Tudyk.
They sat behind like Alan Tudyk super fans who like cheered every time he talked. And
they sat behind us.
Yeah, we were in Australia for Rogue One. Yeah, they were like, it was very annoying after the first 5 minutes. It was just not funny anymore.
You're being rescued. Movie.
Yeah.
There's some kids movie I've been watching where Alan Tudyk does one of the voices. It's killing me. I've been watching so many Disney Plus and Netflix kids movies.
He does Frozen voices. I know that.
Yeah, he did voices in Frozen. That.
Yeah, he does the Duke of Weselton, but it's another one.
How about Wreck-It Ralph?
Ice Age.
Who's he doing Ice Age?
It was, Milton. He was in Continental Drift, which I definitely watched.
He's in a lot of them.
Yeah, he's in a lot of different movies.
He was in
Zootopia. He is Duke Weselton in Zootopia. A little nod to Frozen. And then he was in Moana. Like, he just, Disney's just, oh, he did Iago and Aladdin. He's all over these movies, man.
Boss.
Good for her.
Call us Disney shills. What about Alan Tudyk, huh?
Yeah.
I never see you calling him one, letting him get away with all these Disney voices.
Fucking Disney shill Alan Tudyk.
Pretend to Yuma. I didn't know that. Good for him.
Greg Grunberg, good friend of J.J. Abrams, he's in all his stuff. He follows us on Twitter. Yeah, he does. So there you go. Tip of the cap to us. He says that J.J. Abrams' cut does not exist, but that some big things were cut out. But there is no J.J. Abrams' cut of Star Wars.
Obviously.
Rise of Skywalker.
It's a big no shit.
I don't want to talk about that anymore. Let's just fucking bury that at sea.
All right. Well, we have another cut we can talk about.
Yes.
And that is Universal has refused to comment on the butthole cut of Cats.
I want to see that.
I'm going to be honest. Exists. See, here's the problem. The second you don't comment, I know it's real.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how it goes. Like, that's the same thing with the Ahsoka Mandalorian thing. There was no refute of that story. That's how you know it's real. There is no refute of the butthole cut thing, and that's it.
If not like a butthole cut, then just leak a screenshot. Give the people what they want. Like, I feel like the public deserves it right
Which
now.
Cat's butthole, though? Mistopheles?
No, he was the new Mr. Mistopheles deserves zero shine.
Who's the criminal guy? The Idris Elba cat?
McCavity.
Yeah, McCavity's cavity. Give us that.
I don't really care which cat's butthole. I want to know what the CGI effects look like. Like the vector mapping and shading techniques that went into carving the perfect asterisk.
At least we know it exists, unlike the JJ cut.
Again, it just definitely exists, and there's no other way to convince me otherwise. It exists.
Yeah, I'm not being swayed at all. No chance.
You're not going to convince me. All right, that's news. I'll tell you what, people. There won't be a lot of news in the coming weeks. It's going to all be the same. We'll see. Maybe something will pop up. I just don't see them dropping trailers and stuff. How about the Los Angeles Rams are just like doing a logo reveal tomorrow for a logo that everyone's seen already, by the way.
Yeah.
Which looks like yeah, they're like, oh, wait till you see our next logo. They're like, first of all, nobody cares right now. Second of all, like, we've seen the logo, LA Rams.
It's just the Chargers one.
I feel like Nike, aside from maybe Seattle, which have grown on me, and plus their last ones were just so bad, I feel like Nike's whiffed on every uniform redesign.
They're redoing the Browns. The Browns were supposed to be on a deal soon, but I think it may get delayed for obvious reasons. But they basically just told Nike, like, we want to go back to our original, just clean stuff. We didn't like what you fucking did.
Yeah.
So.
Well,
no shit.
Remember the Jags were probably the worst one with that helmet. And then the Buccaneers, I know they're changing this year. I think the Rams are going back to the blue and yellow full time. And then I think maybe the blue and white, more traditional look. The Falcons are getting new uniforms, which they're due because they still had that early 2000s arena football type look to theirs.
Yeah, like that gloss sheen red.
Yeah, and it's just like the piping. I feel like piping was a big 2000s sort of thing. Mm. You know, and then
people hate the Jets New jerseys from last year.
See, I didn't mind those.
Aside, I didn't either.
Aside from some of the word marking and logoing, like again, there are a few different trends that happened in the 2000s. There were like the arena football like jerseys, but then there are also like the throwback jerseys, but then they picked the wrong throwback era to go to. Right. Like, so like for the Jets, it's like, it would have been cool, like with the little Jet logo or something, but they had that, just that ugly white helmet with the green oval. Like it was like a fucking retail store logo. I don't know. I'm excited about the Falcons though, because that has a big potential. If they go back to like what they were wearing, or even like the Deion Sanders era type jerseys, like I'm talking like black jersey, gray pants, black helmet. They could be pretty good. And actually, I don't mind the Titans too much either.
Yeah, Titans has grown on me a little bit, but it's the clean, simplistic looks. So that's what matters. That's what people want to see.
Don't try too hard.
Yeah.
I think some teams can try too hard. Like, I don't mind the Seahawks trying too hard because they've already set that, like, you know.
If it's your thing, that's one thing, right? But like the Bucks, I feel like I don't know what they were thinking with like the digital clock jerseys. Like maybe they're like, oh, remember when people talked about us a lot when we did the creamsicle jerseys and they were bad? And like, well, that was a really bad thing. Like, I don't think you can make that now your go-to stylistic things to be the bad uniform team.
Especially since the crimson and pewter jerseys were considered some of the best jerseys to come out of the 2000s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just get rid of them.
Yep. All right, let's talk about a movie. We're doing Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle. Came out in 2004, which it felt like a movie that came out in 2001. I don't know why. Like, 2004 seems really late for that movie.
I thought so too, but the only thing that brought me into when it actually took place was they played the Black Eyed Peas, Let's Get It Started, and instead of started, they used the R-word. Version of that, and then I'm like, holy shit, this was 2004.
Yes. All right, so Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle. We'll do a quick synopsis if for some reason you need it. Nerdy accountant Harold, played by John Cho, and his irrepressible friend Kumar, played by Cal Penn, gets stoned watching television and find who we've interviewed, by the way, friend of the program. He told us about White Castle and how great of a company they were to work with too. How they were like, the only thing we care about is that you make our employees look really good because we love our employees. That was pretty cool. Utterly bewitched by a commercial for White Castle, convinced there must be one nearby, the two set out on a late night odyssey that takes them deep into New Jersey. Somehow the boys manage to run afoul of rednecks, cops, and a car stealing Neil Patrick Harris before getting anywhere near their beloved Sliders. Cost $9 million to make, made about $24 million at the box office, obviously picked up a huge following, has become very popular, one of the more well-known comedies of the 2000s. Again, very recognizable, great reviews on both audiences and critics. I think there's a couple parts where maybe it gets a little stale for me. Like, you're like, all right. Like, I love the Neil Patrick Harris introduction, but there's a part after that where it loses a little bit of steam, but then it picks it up towards the end. I have to give it an 81. I give Harold and Kumar an 81 out of 100. I thoroughly enjoyed rewatching this for the first time in a while. I think the franchise as a whole is also pretty fucking good. The Christmas movie was fantastic. It was a fantastic comedy. And Guantanamo Bay was funny too. Rob Corddry probably had the best part in that movie. I laughed incredibly hard at many jokes, and we'll get into some of the best moments.
I give it a 70. It's very solid. There is, like I was saying earlier, there's a lot of early 2000s, but then I also think there's a lot of late 2000s to early 2010 it carries in it. And the director of Dude, Where's My Car directed this one. He's passed away. But I think you can draw a direct line, obviously, from Dude, Where's My Car to Harold and Kumar, but then also to The Hangover. Because I remember first hearing about Harold and Kumar, and it was just such a specific concept that I was intrigued by it in the same way that The Hangover was just such a specific concept. And there's a lot of humor that I think bridges both eras in terms of just stuff that, you know, maybe wouldn't fly today, but also like a lot of funny jokes, like the extreme guys and the Doritos that, like, you know, they had that twinge of like ripping on like overly consumer driven like type, like, you know, snacking and beveraging behavior that is extremely relevant in today's Monster energy drink infused world. So yeah, very enjoyable.
Nope. Yeah, I totally agree. Obviously a little bit of it gets dated. Like they obviously they get a little heavy into like gay jokes and stuff like that. But, you know, other than that, a lot of the jokes landed way harder than I thought they were going to, I would say. I'm very much with you, Jeff, in that, like, I thought young me loved this. So I'm not sure how much it's going to have aged appropriately to now comedy wise. But like, I would say like a 90% clip compared to when I was younger, like a lot, like I was belly laughing watching this with my roommate. And I really thought I was going to be like almost like cringing at some of it, which I really wasn't. And that was a really pleasant surprise. Like you said, Trill, the extreme guys really got a huge chuckle out of me because that's a good parody follow over. The prison scene is laugh out loud funny. So much of this really, I think, worked out great. And I still think the Neil Patrick Harris part worked out really well. It's very funny to me, especially when he drives by in the car full speed doing coke off a stripper's ass. It's incredible.
What is,
so the funny thing about Neil Patrick, the Neil Patrick Harris is I did think it revitalized his career, but I also very much enjoy whenever actors play a fictionalized version of themselves.
Yes. Yes.
It's an extreme weakness, but this also like, Neil Patrick Harris came out in 2006. So this also predated his official coming out. So it was also kind of like an interesting, because I didn't know much about Neil Patrick Harris at the time, but it was like, it was a good way, because I knew he's a Doogie Howser, but it was a good way to reintroduce him, like just playing such an absurd character to my generation, who kind of like grew up with him a little bit, maybe people that are a little bit older than him, but also was like a fascinating pivot point in maybe his career, because I bet it was the first time a lot of people did actually hear about Neil Patrick Harris.
Was Doogie Howser good? I never watched it.
It's okay. I don't remember if it was good or not.
He's a kid doctor, right?
That's yeah. I remember it was a show with the kid doctor. So as a kid, I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. I could be a doctor too.
Doogie Howser, what a name.
Let's try to go from the top to the end, top to bottom. Just some of the stuff that stuck out. I think there are two sets of characters that were over exaggerated, which I love, like the douchebag coworkers, and how like they're the typical douchebag coworkers, but they're also super fucking lame as well. Like there's nothing about them that you're like, oh wow, they're intimidating. There's really shitty coworkers, and it's the other guys, the extreme guys, like them, them clowning on Harold and Kumar, and then throwing shit at them and going, let's go get some fucking Mountain Dew, and get in their car and driving off. I forgot about those characters in general, and that's one of my favorite running gags that I've seen in a while. I totally forgot that was a subplot in the movie.
I like those. The part of the movie I didn't like was the wife of Freak Show. I thought that was the part of the movie that was like the most predictable and
yeah,
kind of felt like something they would do in all those other kind of movies where it's like, you know, they're writing the movie and it's like, okay, well, we got, I mean, come on, like, you know, you got 18-year-old guys coming in here. Like we got to show some boobies. Mm-hmm. And it was just them trying to write that into the movie.
We need one physically deformed, like overperforming guy, because that character, the Maloney character, was basically the same as the tiny hand guy from Scary Movie.
Yes.
More or less.
It was the, you know, like the Freak Show. They named him perfectly. But then the joke of like, obviously is, you know, it's a well-known trope. They did in The Other Guys, right? Where, oh, this is your wife? Like, you know, how'd you get it? They end up being just complete. I played a lot of video games too that are like that, where like the family ends up being cannibals and stuff. It feels like it happens a lot.
Yeah.
It was probably not one of my more favorite jokes. I'll say that as well. And he was disgusting to look at too. I was eating lunch when I watched. So just a horrendous looking person.
He hits the gym though. They put all that makeup on his face and they gave him a normal fit body too.
I did like the line where they're like whispering and stuff, and then it just pans out and he's like, I heard everything. Like that part still got a laugh out of me.
What else? The marijuana kills thing I thought was very funny too. The commercial, which is that based on a real commercial, Trill? You might remember better than me. I believe there was like a substance abuse commercial where a guy misfires a gun.
Maybe. The ones that I remember are like the ones where the dad is like, where did you get this from? He's like, I got it from you, dad, because he found his own dad's like stash of drugs. I remember the cracking eggs, like this is your brain. This is your brain on drugs. I don't remember a gun-related drug commercial, but there probably could have been one. The other scene I thought was funny is like, I'm always a sucker. I mean, look, this movie's a lot of like comedic tropes rolled over. And the reason it works out so well is I just think Cal Penn and John Cho are very fun to watch. I think they have a good rapport. I think they're both very good comedic actors. And I think like they play their types perfectly, where, you know, you have an odd couple type relationship. It really works. But I'm always a sucker for a medical emergency mix up scene.
Ryan Reynolds, too.
Yeah.
Yes, which that's the gif. That's the mm-hmm. But why gif. And I always forget that as well. Yep. Is that it's him just looking off with the mask off, like, but why?
It's amazing.
And that was like 2 years after Van Wilder, right?
The funniest part of the movie, though, like to me, and maybe not the movie, but the funniest detail is when Neil Patrick Harris gets in the car and then he starts talking about something and he has a tear in his eye. Like, what was the line he was saying? I know it's bad, but like it's when he first gets in and he was talking about like some ecstasy he did and like he never got that. Oh, is
he asked if he had sex with everyone on the show. Yes. And like, did you ever meet with the hot nurse? And he's
yes.
Like,
and
no. I never went all the way.
All the way with her.
They went with like a mid close up, and he had like this tear welling up in his eye. It was like super fucking funny.
He, I don't want to skip to the end too much, but at the end, I do love when he's paying off their White Castle, and they're like, "Dude, you fucked up the car, all this shit." And he goes, "Yeah, it was a dick move on my part. That's why I'm buying your meal." And he just under his breath, like, "Pricks."
It was so good.
I don't know if this is very funny for people who don't live in the Northeast, but them clowning on typical New Jersey, New York things like the Newark thing, they're like, "Oh shit, we gotta get out of Newark, we're gonna get shot." And it's the two guys that look like that.
I
had to stop the movie. They're just getting the shit beat out of them by all the baseball bats.
These two guys look just like us. Get the shit beat out of them.
I did forget there was also a very not another teen movie esque poop scene as well.
Oh, Battleship.
And that one came first, right? Another teen movie came out before this.
There was also a movie called Detroit Rock City that I don't know if you guys ever saw it. I forget who was in it. I think it was a teenage raunchy type movie. And there was a scene where the guys sneak into the girl's restroom and listen to some diarrhea.
Oof.
Yep. Which happens. It happens. Everybody does it.
Yeah, I don't think you ever want to hear diarrhea. And I was looking up the cast of the movie after I watched it, and I saw the twins show up, but they had different last names, and my brain like broke for a minute. It didn't realize that one of them got married, and like I was like, "How is this possible?" Like, I'm like, my brain just froze. It was a very tough moment.
They have, they have a lot of pretty funny gags in the college. Did you like the college scene? Because they crossed a lot of things. Bobby Lee, by the way.
Bobby Lee is so
nothing
funny.
Nothing gets me to laugh quite like just seeing Bobby Lee.
That's TV legend right there.
That's such a late 90s, early 2000s laugh. Like, and that's a laugh that if you don't know Bobby Lee from that time period, I hate saying it like this, but like only 90s kids will remember. But like, you're just going to have a different laugh if you grew up with Bobby Lee, because he's always over-exaggerated. He's always over the top. And he, every line that Bobby Lee has in a movie is delivered perfectly. Just like even this one, he's asked if he works at that company. He goes, "That's awesome." And he starts high-fiving everybody.
Yeah.
He's so fucking good. I've missed Mad TV so much.
How about, you know, they're bringing back Kids in the Hall. Did you ever watch that, Trill?
Yeah, I watched it a bunch.
I think it's coming back on Quibi, but I don't know. I might just be, it's coming back, but I don't know where it's coming back.
It's a very funny show. But it was, they always had it on Comedy Central during the day. So if you're ever homesick, you're going to see some.
Yeah, that was a very homesick show. It was in the middle of the afternoon. Yep. So let's talk about got a couple questions to branch off here. First one is the White Castle thing. Let's talk White Castle for a second. When was the last time you guys had White Castle?
Like a decade ago.
It was, I remember exactly that. It was 2 days after my daughter's birth in 2018. So she was born late April. It was 2 days after that specific day. And I remember it because I went out for food and, we just wanted something disgusting. So I got White Castle.
I had it a week ago. I was out in Jersey. I was getting like a lot of supplies. Wanted to go to a Walmart just because I knew we were about to hunker down. And there's a White Castle. I've been craving White Castle for a long time now. I just haven't had it. I think I'd watched one of the Harold and Kumars, and I thought about it. You know, it might have been when we interviewed Cal Penn. But I've been craving it for a long time. And I got it, and it didn't hold up well bringing it back home. It didn't hold up well at all. I didn't have that bad of a consequences afterwards. But it mildly hit the spot, but overall I was like, I was a little disappointed with this.
I had a really horrible White Castle-induced blowout one time. Ooh. Right before one of my final exams, where I was so stressed out, and we just ordered a bunch of White Castles because I was over at my friend's place. Ate them, and then right before one of my final exams, like the White Castle plus the nervousness diarrhea hit in. So I had to go in the bathroom, and I just remember just boom, bombing it out.
Shotgun diarrhea?
Yeah. Yeah, the teleportation diarrhea. And then when I flushed it, spritzed a little bit back up onto the toilet seat. It's gross. I remember these events very vividly.
What a dump that must have been. There wasn't like a close enough White Castle to me where I grew up. Like, I think the closest one away was like half hour, maybe 20 minutes. And it was just never something where we wanted to go get it. But Checkers, on the other hand,
there was these very specific toilets at the Kelly School of Business at Indiana University that when you flushed them, and you know, had one of those jets that like the front side of it that pushed it back, like the water jet pushed back. So if there's any like obstructing material, it was so forceful. And I remember those toilets because I thought, man, if I ever get rich, I'm getting one of those toilets someday. Nothing's getting clogged in those motherfuckers.
Yeah, I remember I had one of those in Leo Hall, Manhattan College. That one just, it shot the poop right down. And God forbid there's any obstruction. Yeah, it's like you said, Drill, just jettisoned straight up on a ricochet.
Have you ever had a moment like a Harold and Kumar where you're determined to get a chain or a food place and you've gone out of your way? Well, what was it?
For me, it's always Wendy's. Like, if there's never a Wendy's too far away to beat my laziness where I'll go and get it.
I drove like an hour one time to get some Jack in the Box.
Oh,
yeah, I wanted some of their tacos. I wanted some tacos? Of their, yeah, their Schwan delivery quality tacos. Yeah. So yeah, that's happened to me with Jack in the Box. I don't know, dude. I don't think I'd do it right now. I think my priorities in life have shifted. And obviously I wouldn't do it in the current climate because I'm not going to get Rona for trying to get some Jack in the Box tacos.
That's a smart move.
I did that back in December with Whataburger, actually. I was supposed to go out to eat somewhere. Timing for the day didn't work, so I didn't really have any food. It was actually the night of the Ohio State-Clemson semifinal for the college football playoff. And I went to one kind of where near I lived in Austin. The line was too long. Then I drove to another one a little ways down the road in the suburb. Line was too long. I mean, I'm cooking on a good 30, 45 minutes now just doing Whataburger. And then I waited in line at the next one. And that one took way too – Whataburger I love, but the lines are notoriously really bad for drive-through. They're very long because they cook everything, for the most part, like right away. So it takes a little while to get very backed up. But I did that for probably like an hour, hour 20. You know what I really wanted to do? I almost took a Subway, like an hour Subway, just to pick up a fucking Little Caesars pretzel crust pizza. And I didn't do it. And then I finally committed to doing it like a week later. And they took it away. They haven't brought it back since. It's been like 2 years now.
I love Little Caesars. I just got to say that. Like, I know you can get a better pizza out there, but there's just something about their crazy bread, that mix of the Parmesan garlic, crusty, coaty stuff. And I think their pizza's fine. I love Little Caesars, man.
No, I don't think I've ever had it before.
But I mean, I've
talked about it. I want it now.
Have you guys thought about how drunk you're going to get, like, once we can go out in public again?
Honestly, I just want to like go and get food or go outside in general.
Yeah, I want to go to, for example, I was supposed to go to Mohegan Sun for my birthday. I was supposed to go get this like nice Italian place I like, and I didn't do either of those things. And I'm like, that's what I want to do. I just want to do the simple things.
Yeah, Like I want to walk back into the Tesla store again and and pretend like I'm going to buy a Tesla.
Well, I mean, speaking of fast food, after Whole Foods, I was like, all right, let me do a pickup order of Taco Bell breakfast. I love doing that. I don't really have Taco Bell often. Like, it's like my weekend thing. Saturday or Sunday morning, I'll get Taco Bell breakfast one morning every weekend. They're not serving breakfast right now. They Taco stopped Bell? Breakfast because of coronavirus. I don't know.
Yeah, there's no way they're getting the volume at breakfast to justify the shift.
Tough. Just.
I think. That was a bummer. I mean, it's not there. It's tough.
It was very disappointing, but I'll get it again when we're done. It's still my one of my favorite breakfasts. What else? Anything else from this movie that sticks out at you? Did you like what were your thoughts on the second and third ones? Where would you place those two? Because for me, I think the third one is better than the second one.
I thought they got better. I especially enjoyed, and then the reason I mentioned like the Neil Patrick Harris, he was at the time a very big like celebrity to come out, right? Which kind of shows you how far we've come since 2006. But he continued to play this fictionalized version of himself, who obviously is seeing coming out of a sunroof with strippers and women and stuff, and he is obviously a theater kid who hosts the Tonys and has a very stable family life. So I enjoyed how they kept, like, they did a good job of ramping his character up, because obviously he was one of the better parts of this movie. I think they gave him more in the other movies but didn't use him too much, and I really enjoyed that. I did think the third one was surprisingly better than the second one. And by surprisingly, normally once you get to the third, you're kind of like, there's a Christmas movie, they're running out of steam, but I remember that being very funny.
They did a lot of parody bits too. They tried to make the 3D over the top, because that's when 3D was very popular. And we talked to Cal Penn about it, and they wanted to do things that were obnoxious, it's like James Cameron, Avatar, Harold and Kumar. And they were successful at it because it did come off that way. The third one was such a surprise. The third one, actually, I'm not sure on this. Let me double check. But I think the third one actually has the highest scores on Rotten Tomatoes.
Which one was Guantanamo Bay? Because I think that's my favorite one out of
all.
That's
the second one.
It's the Guantanamo Bay one.
Because I remember the plane scene, I remember cry laughing at the first time I watched that movie. It is so funny. The poison gas scream.
It's actually, when the woman.
The bong.
Sees the bong and thinks it's like a terror. Yes. Very funny. Very Harold and Kumar Chris actually has lower, but it was just below audience. Critic and audience scores for the Christmas one. The Christmas one was funny, though. I mean, they're all three good. Rob Corddry's character in the second one is the one that did it for me. He talks about like the president was ice fishing, and that's why he couldn't be there. Like the Secretary of Defense was ice fishing. He's like, have you been ice fishing? It's fucking exhilarating. It's a great Rob Corddry delivery, which reminds me again, Hot Tub Time Machine, another Rob Corddry.
Very underrated movie.
It's good. I don't have too much else to say. I think we covered some of the absolute funniest stuff. I thought I might crave White Castle again after that. I did not. The craving has been kicked.
I love some good crinkle fries.
Yes, I like their fries a lot. When they're good, when they're warm and they're crispy, I love their fries.
The worst part about their fries is that normally you're not going to get White Castle dine-in. And I can't stand ketchup out of packets. So it's always trying to find a real ketchup jug to put on the fries, man.
You don't like fancy ketchup at the packet?
I hate that shit. Because I use too much ketchup. I'm a Midwestern boy.
I was gonna say, because I'm a big ketchup guy like you, then, and I prefer to get out the bottle so I can over pour.
Yes,
and I don't like having to sit there spending 20 minutes pouring out ketchup through the packets.
You still there's the thing about it is, like, you could have 800 packets of ketchup, you're still not going to get enough ketchup. It just doesn't work. It disappears into a black hole.
Like, and two fries and you're out of ketchup. It's absurd.
What fast food place you think has the highest percentage of meals that people eat in their car? Like, out of everything, out of all their sales. So, like, McDonald's adjusted for size. Yeah, probably.
McDonald's. I would bet hard money on that.
It can't be Taco Bell, though, right? Because Taco Bell is kind of tough. I mean, people do it, but, you're going to draw some shredded lettuce between your seats, ground beef, going between your crotch.
There's just too much mess involved with that. and then mess it with the McDonald's
between your crotch.
Yeah, dude. You eating the taco and the ground beef's flying out the back end. Even though you have the wrapping paper on it, some of it still comes out. You're standing.
That's one of the best parts about the crunchy taco at Taco Bell is that the stuff that falls out, you kind of scoop it up a little bit. You have a little like hand taco.
Yeah, but not if you're in your car and that shit just stains your plaid GTI seats.
What sauce do you use?
I've got the pleather. I use the hot. Oh, okay. It's not actually hot. It's got a little bit of kick. But it's not like real hot sauce. It's just spicy.
I'm a fire guy. I get those tacos, load up the top with the fire sauce, and just.
I think I use fire too, but fire's not that hot either, right?
No, but it helps bring the flavor out.
Yeah. Fire has the perfect. If you line front to back on a Taco Bell taco with the fire sauce, it has just the right kick at the end.
Mm-hmm. They have a Verde sauce too, right?
They do. And then they have their super Diablo sauce, which I don't like.
And mild. Yeah, Diablo doesn't really, it just doesn't taste good is the problem. Like the spiciness is whatever, it just doesn't taste good.
Yeah, it's hot. It just doesn't taste very, it's just not, yeah, not a great taste. They have a potential item coming out this summer. We've heard through the grapevine. That's a fucking wild one.
Do I know about this?
I'm not going to say it. I don't want to get in trouble, but I'm going to tell you guys what it is.
Oh, I know what it is.
I'm curious what you think. All right, ready? Trill, Kenjack remembers. I just sent it to you, Trill. Immediate reaction to reading this. Oh, wait. Hold on. No. Okay, there we go. Okay.
Oh, okay. Because I was like, they've done the first one.
Yeah, no. So the wrapping is that.
Okay. Yeah, I like that.
That's going to be fucking cool. People are going to eat that one up, I think. Okay, Harold and Kumar. So I gave it an 81. Kenjack, you gave it?
75.
75. Trill Bonds gave it a 70. So 70, 75, 81, 84 from the audience comes out to a 77.5. That places the movie on our list here of streaming reviews, which is going to grow a lot now with no new movies, right below National Treasure and above the Santa Claus. So that's in good. I'm glad it's up there. That's
good company.
It's in about the right spot. All right, Harold and Kumar, we're going to talk throughout the next day or two. We'll put up a vote for what we're going to review on Thursday and Sunday. We'll see what people are feeling, what people are interested in watching. Box office game though, tough to play with these guys. Cal Penn, John Cho, it's gonna be a Star Trek. Neil Patrick Harris doesn't really work. So today's birthday, celebrity birthday, is Reese Witherspoon. So we're gonna do Reese Witherspoon filmography, pull it up. So box office game for Reese Witherspoon. What are her five highest grossing movies of all time?
Oh, she's only 5'1". I didn't know that.
She's a very small person.
Have you met her, Jeff?
Yes, I got a compliment on my hair. It was one of the more
compliment
boosting moments. Yes. It was a memorable moment.
M'lady.
A very memorable moment.
You're like, thank you, Reese. I liked you in Fear when you're on a roller coaster with Mark Wahlberg. You know what I mean? Oh boy.
It was the same day she was there, as well as Casey Musgraves and Channing Tatum.
What, did you crew. Meet Casey Musgraves too?
That's way more important.
Is she delightful?
Yes. Channing Tatum was very nice and funny as well, and used one of the bathrooms and said, "Bro, bathroom fucking stinks here." It's like, yep, some probably pooped, Channing Tatum. That's likely what happened.
All right.
Reese Witherspoon, top five highest grossing movies of all time.
Legally Blonde 1 and 2, I would say, true.
Oh, let's do one at a time though.
All right, then one.
Well, I mean, I don't know what else they'd be. We'll just do Legally Blonde 1 and 2.
Legally Blonde is number 7. Incorrect. Legally Blonde is number 7.
Shit. Monsters vs. Aliens.
Is that a final answer from the group?
Yeah.
Monsters vs. Aliens is a good guess. That's number 2.
Oh.
Monsters vs. Aliens was a big deal. I saw that in IMAX at the Bob Bullock History Museum in Austin, Texas.
Ooh.
I don't know why. They don't serve real like popcorn there. So.
Ooh. You know what? That was number 2. Let's see.
Was he Gone Girl?
No, I think she was a producer.
Oh, producer. Yeah, it says there. Yeah. I was like, what the fuck? When did I miss that?
She was Amy Dunn.
She's been at a lot of things.
Sing for sure.
This is tough.
Sing has to be number 1 if the other one was number 2.
Oh, sing's the movie with all the singing.
The animals, animated right? Singing pigs. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Sing.
Yeah. Sing. She played Rosita, and she was, that's number one. Oh. Sing is number one. Number two is Monsters, Aliens. You have one strike. You have three left, and you have two guesses.
Sweet Home, Alabama.
Okay, yeah, why not?
Is that a final answer?
Yeah, sure.
That's number four, Sweet Home, Alabama. Number four, you have two left, two strikes. You're doing well. You're pretty well here.
Wrinkle in Time was not particularly good, but was, I believe, a Disney movie, right? No. Yes.
No,
yes.
It was. But I think thing is, I don't know if it bombed to expectations or just bombed in general.
That's still like probably $200 million. This means I think that's one of Fights' favorites.
This means war?
Yeah.
That's based off Spy vs. Spy, right?
Yes.
Walk the Line made a lot of money.
Walk the Line, then. Let's do it.
We'll do Walk the Line.
Walk the Line, I don't think made as much as you think it made, but it is number three.
Ooh, how much is it?
I can tell you now because you have the top three. Sing was $634 million. Monstrous Aliens was $382 million. And then Walk the Line is $187 million. Damn. So you have one left. You have number five, and you have two chances to get it.
She was nominated for that in Walk the Line, right?
Yeah.
She was.
I remember that being – that was a huge movie. Then Johnny Cash, I think, died right before it came out. I think it made it pretty popular. But you're right. I thought it would have made more money. So going back, do we guess Legally Blonde 1? Was that the one we did?
Yeah.
You did? Yep.
So maybe still Legally Blonde 2. Devil's Knot.
Kind of intrigued by this. By This Means War, only because I remember a lot of people know seeing it. But
what was This Means War? Let's talk about that. Like what
it was like the spy love movie.
Which
Chris
one?
Pine
with Anna Kendrick and what was the one with Anna Kendrick?
I know what you're. That's the one with
He's a hitman with Sam Rockwell, right?
Sam Rockwell, yeah. I know. No, this one was
Chris directed Pine. By McGee.
Yeah, this one was Chris Pine and Tom Hardy were competing over Reese Witherspoon.
What do you think? You think like his name's like McGlorp? McGlorp.
It's Joseph McGinty Nickel.
Boo.
Known professionally as McGee.
McGluck.
McGee, you got something to say to this prick? Ooh, yeah, Pleasantville.
I'm just stalling right now. So Election, I think, was great, but there's no way that made anything
the good lie
near what we're trying to do. She's an American Psycho. It probably didn't make that much money. What was How Do You Know?
How do you know?
Do you remember the Spy vs. Spy Mountain Dew commercials?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I'm out on a Spy vs. Spy rabbit hole because of This Means War, which I thought that's what it was based on.
Maybe let's do This Means War. Jerome.
That's not me hinting at anything. You can guess it. I'm on a rabbit hole of This Means War now.
So does Hot Pursuit count?
Was she an actress in it? Should then.
Oh, yeah, she was.
Yeah, she was literally in the movie.
No, right? Sorry. I thought that was the Melissa McCarthy one.
Oh, no. Hot Pursuit was the one with Sofia Vergara, which got very bad reviews.
Oh, no, then no way. What one was I thinking of with, like, Melissa McCarthy?
Heat?
Yeah, Heat. Something hot. You know what was pretty big?
What?
But I don't, like... So... I'm combing through here because I have a feeling, you know, Reese Witherspoon did Sweet Home Alabama, but then I think she did Four Christmases, I think, was also like a pretty big rom-com moment, but I don't know obviously don't know how much that made. But what was the one you were thinking?
This Means War.
Yeah, let's just try that.
Fuck it.
This Means War, number six.
Oh, motherfucker. God damn it.
One last guess.
Inherent Vice.
No. Get it right, you win. You get it wrong, you lose, which would be your first losing streak.
That would suck, dude. I couldn't have that on my conscience.
Four Christmases.
Cruel Intentions. That didn't make a lot of money because that, like, we all watched the VHS of that tape in high school. It just got super horny off of the VHS.
That was the Ryan Philippe one, right?
Yeah, that was the one. That was like the kissing scene with Sarah Michelle Gellar.
I know where you're going at. Rendition.
Just like Christmas. Heaven.
Just like Heaven.
Ruffalo. What was that? The one where Mark Ruffalo died.
I honestly don't know. Home Again. Wrinkle in Time, man. I just keep looking at it. I don't know.
All right, let's try a Wrinkle in Time.
No. I don't know yet.
I don't know what else it would be.
Yeah, we gotta get a guess. Just name one. Fuck it.
Let's do a Wrinkle in Time.
Wrinkle in Time comes in at number 8. It was four Christmases. Yeah.
How much did it make? Damn.
$164 million. I really thought you were going to say for it. Like, you seem to have it going, and then...
Yeah, but I didn't think it would make that. Like, I...
Yeah, I didn't think it had it like that either.
That's just that weird 2000s type shit, man. I can't figure that out. Because wasn't Four Christmases, like... That was a movie where they visited their parents and their step-parents, and there are four of them, hence the Four Christmases. But I don't think it got good reviews. But, you know, people love Reese Witherspoon, and people kind of love Vince Vaughn, so that makes sense. And by the way, it's funny to see Vince Vaughn in Curb Your Enthusiasm, because I could picture Vince Vaughn, like, hanging out with Larry David. Very believable.
Very tall person.
It's a very tall person.
Disgustingly tall person. Like, you're just shocking.
Is he, like, 6 foot? Is he, like, 6 foot six? 6 foot seven?
He's a massive person. All right, rankings. Top 5 movies you would not want to be quarantined with. So these are this. If you had 5 movies you would not want to be stuck with, these are the 5. Ken Jack, we'll go with you, then myself, then Trill, then the audience. Okay, let's get to it. You would not want to be stuck having to watch.
All right, my first pick is going to be The Sixth Sense, only because once you watch it once, I don't think you need to watch it again. I think you pretty much hit your limit on The Sixth Sense after that.
There's no one, you just like, okay.
Once the twist is gone, you're like, what are you watching for?
Yeah, you don't. Yeah, okay.
I get it. Unless you like watch with other people and like you can like drop hints like, I wonder if he's dead. I'm not saying he is, but I just wonder.
I'm just curious, acting like he's dead. It's weird, right?
You just set up your streaming party with people. You're like, hey guys, what's going on? Anyone see this? What are you seeing here? Okay, Sixth Sense, because of the twist. My number 5, Transformers The Last Night. You know, when you're quarantined and you're working from home, you want a little peace sometimes. That's one of the loudest fucking movies of all time. It's obnoxious. It's not funny. It's creepily horny. Transformers The Last Night. I would hate having to watch that movie because I have nothing else to watch.
It also rocks, though, and is very good, which is counterintuitive, but I promise it's a great movie. You all should buy it.
Trill, number 5.
Number 5 for me is Children of Men. If I'm quarantined now, I don't want to be watching Children of Men.
Okay, that's fair. Never mind.
I'm taking a different approach. Like, these are things I do not want to be watching right now.
That's a good approach. That's one way to look at it. Audience number 5 is Master of Disguise, which is fair.
Good pick.
Maybe you need a little fart humor to remember. I say it every time. The villain in that movie, every time he laughs, he lets out a small fart at the end.
Incredible stuff.
It's good in the Turtle Club. Come on. Ken Jack, number 4.
My number 4 is Manchester by the Sea. Just a depressing-ass movie. I would not want to watch that more than one time either. And it's very good, to be clear, but it is very depressing. And I think watching that too many times is just not good for your health.
Yeah, no. It no way leaves you in a good mood if you watch that when you're quarantined and need something to pick you up. Maybe you want to go with a comedy, and that's why I would not want to have this, because I'd want to laugh and this wouldn't supply it for me, and that is the 2005 remake of Bewitched with Nicole Kidman and Will Ferrell.
Ugh.
Just a horrendous, horrendous movie. They pulled fucking Michael Caine into this thing. Steve Carell's in it. Jason Schwartzman, Stephen Colbert.
You ready to tell me you're a witch?
Just an awful movie.
I'm stuck in the attic.
So bad.
That's one of your best brands ever. That week or whatever was so funny.
NFL insider Michael Caine.
Michael Caine stuck in his attic.
The Trent Richardson trade reminds me of when I was in a young lad up in Gloucestershire.
Trill, what's your number 4?
Number 4 is We Need to Talk About Kevin. Have you guys ever seen We Need to Talk About Kevin?
I was going to put that on my list at the last second. I decided not to. It's a great pick.
It's a good movie. Do not need to be watching We Need to be talking about Kevin right
nope.
now.
Nope.
What about Kevin Can Wait with Kevin James?
It's a sequel.
What about what about Bob Hart Apashola?
They keep putting off the discussion about Kevin. The first one is We Need to Talk About Kevin. Second one's Kevin Can Wait. And the third one's okay, let's talk about Kevin.
How about the Matthew Perry Odd Couple reboot?
Who's the other person in that?
Thomas Lennon. Funny guy.
Yeah, funny guy, but like you're talking about, like, you know, like if you're gonna get Matthew Perry in the Odd Couple, like you got to get Matt LeBlanc.
You do, yeah.
Obviously, like, that's the only thing that would have made a bunch of money. That's what people want to see.
Yeah. Audience number four: a Neil Patrick Harris movie, Downsizing.
That's a great pick. Oh,
that's a
torturous movie.
I wouldn't want that movie outside of quarantine. I wouldn't want that movie in any situation. What a terrible movie. Fascinating. I would love a documentary one day on how, like, the behind the scenes of how that got made and how it went from Oscar contender to one of the least liked movies of the last 10 years. Kenjack, number three.
My number three is Seven. And I think Seven's a fantastic movie, but much in the same vein as The Sixth Sense. I think you get what you need out of it after your first watch of it, and then you don't need to watch it again for like another year or so.
There you go. You don't
yeah, maybe. Although whenever it's on like TV, I don't know why I watch it, because it's the TV edit. But
it's a horrible.
Yeah, I still watch it.
That's the thing, though. Is like I want to watch. I really have a craving to watch Seven like once a year, but then I don't want to watch it again for like a very extended period of time.
And whenever like Kevin Spacey, his character is like walking through the police station or the courthouse or turns himself in or whatever, I'm like, he did it, everybody. Take this guy seriously.
His fingers or fingerprints are cut off. Whoa.
This one would be it's another remake. Actually, I just swapped three and two because I think my three needs to be higher. And that is the 2015 Point Break remake. Because at that point you're like, well, I just want to watch Point Break. But
the much
like
better movie.
Imagine you're with like a roommate and they're like, hey, well, I have a movie, we can watch Point Break. You're like, oh shit, like Point Break, badass movie, very cool scenes, cool actors. And then it turns out it's the Point Break with Edgar Ramirez, Ray Winstone, Teresa Palmer. You're like, what the fuck is this? Steve Aoki as himself from 2015.
Yeah, incredible stuff.
That'd be highly disappointing to see on your quarantine list. Trill, number three.
Number three for me is Revolutionary Road. Yeah, that's a movie that will put you in a very bad headspace. Especially as you think about being in the suburbs, spending a lot of time with your significant other right now. Just don't do it. Just don't watch Revolutionary Road right now.
Another great pick.
Yeah, just don't.
your list is more of like a cautionary tale.
Yeah, I'm just, these are movies to stay away from for the next 9 months.
Audience pick, Don't Mess with the Zohan, or You Don't Mess with the Zohan.
What? I could watch the movie 1,000 times. But
do you remember when they did all the hummus jokes in that one?
No, I actually don't.
And they had Rob Schneider playing an Arab man. Incredible stuff.
I actually don't remember much of that movie. Kenjack, number two.
My number two is I'm still back and forth in my two and one. You know what? I'm settled. Meet the Spartans is my number two. Meet the Spartans. You want to talk about dated jokes? Meet the Spartans, chock full of them. Like in every way that I was worried about Harold Kumar go to White Castle. This is like the realization of those fears, because every joke is dated and every joke is bad.
Imagine you just want a good laugh.
I just want to meet the fucking Spartans.
This is all you have.
That's all I signed up for.
And the joke that comes your way is what's the Spartan's name again in the fucking movie?
It's not Leonidas in that. Fuck,
no, it's something stupid. That Spartan in the Meet the Spartans does the kick of Sanjaya from American Idol down the hole, and you're like, God damn it.
Oh, he is named Leonidas in this. Damn.
Oh, he was? Okay.
Oh, yeah. There's Kevin Sorbo as the captain. I forgot about that.
Yeah, he kicks the American Idol judges, Sanjaya, and Britney Spears with her head shaved.
And Dane Cook.
Cameo legend Kevin Sorbo.
It's Dane Cook. He hits. Fuck. Was it
Carmen Electra turns into Venom at one point?
Yep. So I think Donald Trump is in it at one point. George W. Bush or something. Like,
Not the real George W. Bush.
No.
But the real Donald, like, the real Donald Trump was probably in it, right?
It's also very possible, though.
Oh, my God.
That cutscene, by that cutscene, by the way, but did you guys see that? Did you send that to me from Wall Street 2, Money Never Sleeps?
Unbelievable.
The cut, the scene that was cut with Trump and the Gordon Gekko.
Gordo. We're not in the 80s anymore, Gordo. So, Gordo, what's up?
The most unnatural scene in the world. Oh boy.
Audience, my number two. This is another tease. Because you're like, I want to watch an animated classic. And like, you have The Lion King. And they're like, kind of. How about The Lion King, but only from the perspective of Timon and Pumbaa? My number two is Lion King 1.5, which was just everything that happened in that movie, but you only see it from the viewpoint of Timon and Pumbaa. So you're getting all of the stuff that all, like, outside of the, you get all the good Timon and Pumbaa shit, but everything else you're just seeing in the background. So you're like, it's like kind of Lion King. Very disappointing. That would be a huge bummer to have. It's like watching Toy Story from Sid's angle.
I just rewatched the kick scene.
Of Sanjaya?
Not only does he kick Britney Spears, but Kevin Federline comes out and kicks him too. Fucking dated reference. Good lord.
I'm gonna tweet it out from the account. This is the peak of comedy.
It's incredible. He's like singing to the baby.
Oh, the baby Shrek, right?
Yeah, the baby Shrek.
Oh, God. Fuck.
We watched it recently for some reason. I forget. I think I was just maybe scrubbing it for jokes. Ugh.
Incredible film.
Oh, my God. Trill number two.
The Road. You know, if you guys are sitting home.
True.
Yeah, don't watch The Road. Just don't fucking watch it.
Fantastic film, though.
Yeah. It's a great, great, great movie, but not good right now.
Audience number two, speaking of Matt LeBlanc, Ed.
Okay, come on.
Come on, you wouldn't want to see
going crazy.
Joey from Friends and Ed?
I fuck with Ed hardcore.
Hardcore fuck with Ed, not even just...
No, wait, let me say
fuck,
that.
Are you going to fuck Ed hardcore? No,
that's not what I meant. Not that way. I mean, I'm going to watch Ed tomorrow with my daughter. I'm going to get her takes on it.
He also kicks Ellen DeGeneres into the pit of death.
Oh, hell yes. Who else?
It's just a guy with a blonde wig.
Jeff, have you ever met Ellen?
Man. No, Ellen was NBC Universal. So
I hear great things.
I haven't crossed paths there. Looks like they don't have the Sanjaya clip on YouTube. That's a shame.
Sanjaya DMCA'd it all.
There's an ugly villain from Meet the Spartans who is taunting Leonidas and is on the ground, and ugly Betty whispers into his ear, douchebag says what?
Ugly Betty, what a pull. I love that. It's almost become so out of date now. It's good.
I would actually, I wish it was streaming, because it'd be kind of funny to watch and have all those jokes pop up. Though now we just ruined it now. But
the whole writer's room, the whole thing they did was they just taped up People magazine issues to the wall and threw darts into them. So, okay. See what we're going to write about right now.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Last one. Ken Jack, number one.
My number one is The English Patient. English Patient is boring as fuck, and I could not stand watching it in quarantine more than one time. Like, the one time I ever watched it was one too many times to watch The English Patient. It's so fucking boring.
I hate the last line of that movie. I hate it. When he looks at the camera and says, "Thanks for taking care of me, love."
Appreciate that, love.
Yeah, your greatness. And I've been a proper English patient.
My number one is Human Centipede. It's gross.
Oh,
it is, isn't it?
I've never actually seen that.
It sucks.
I've stayed away from it.
What's your number one, Trill?
My number one is Requiem for a Dream. Now, like the other one, like, I think you can watch Requiem for a Dream right now. Because it does get depressing, but it's also probably not something you'd want to keep watching. These movies are probably all pretty good. I just wouldn't watch them right now.
That's fair.
Yeah, I get your list. And actually, the audience's number one is similar to something you have on your list in terms of, like, you know, being
Contagion.
Yeah, being end of the world apocalypse type stuff. No, it's not Contagion.
Outbreak.
It's The Happening.
Okay, no, that's great.
Because
that's
like, not only is it the end of the world, you're like, oh, it's the end of the world and everything really sucks. Like, it's not even a cool end of the world where it's like, at least we went out in some crazy thing. No, this is just. It's plants.
The plants. No, lady, we would never want to hurt you. So I'm watching the trailer for Meet the Spartans, and at one point the guy turns into a transformer and has a big video screen on his chest, yeah. And he plays Leave Britney Alone. We need to actually watch this.
That he turns into Megatron soon after he rubs his nipples at one point, if I do remember correctly. And there was a dance battle before that. Yeah.
This feels good.
So those are our list. Don't watch those movies while in quarantine. Anything else? Anything else, gang?
I'm gonna go play some Doom Eternal. Well, I'm gonna go put my daughter to bed.
I wish I could play it, but I'm fucking stuck with Warzone until I decided to delete it and free up 75% of the space on my PS4.
There you go. I have the same problem. I'm about to go watch Attack of the Clones on live stream. Excited.
Oh yeah. Sounds good.
All right, so we'll decide what movies. Check the Instagram and Twitter for what movies we're going to do next week. We'll put out a vote. We'll figure out what we're going to review. Everyone stay safe. Wash your hands. For Ken, Jack, and Trill, I'm Jeff Lowe. We'll talk to you on Thursday.
Have a good week at the home box office.